The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Today starts officially Christmas in the Forest, and we're beginning our Christmas series, When Love Came to Town. And we're talking about when this whole idea of the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, coming to town, putting on flesh, becoming this baby in a manger. And we're going to be talking about why it's such a big deal at this time of year. Now, I have to confess to you guys, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love getting together with family. I love the food, obviously, the Christmas snacks. I love the Christmas movies. It is not Christmas until I've seen Elf at least like 3 times. Some people say that Die Hard is their favorite Christmas movie. I would never say that from the pulpit, but you feel free to. I love all the movies. I love 24 hours of a Christmas story on TNT, but like you can't start 24 or a Christmas story at the beginning, right? Like you got to come in like 30 or 45 minutes, watch it, wait till it repeats to the next one. You know, this is where I came in. See you guys later. I love Christmas. I love that. I love the songs. Like most people get upset when the stations start playing Christmas music like before Thanksgiving. Not me. I'm like, man, start that junk in August. I want to hear it. Bring it on, bring it on. And I know that I am what's wrong with America. I get that, all right? But I love it. I love every bit of Christmas because I love what it represents. I love this idea of this rescue mission of heaven, of Jesus putting on, God putting on flesh in the form of Jesus, coming as a baby in a manger. And I think it's perfectly fine to be okay with all the extra stuff of Christmas. I think that's good. I think that's all right. It's okay to enjoy the music and to go to the mall and see the decorations, to go around and to look at lights. I think that's fantastic as long as we still keep our eyes focused on the real reason behind the season. I think all that's good as long as we stay focused. And I remember being a little kid, and we never had Santa come to our house. Santa always went to my grandparents' house, where myself and all of my cousins and aunt and uncles, we would all go over there on Christmas morning. And my mom had 3 siblings, and there was always that one family that was late. And because we would come in, and we would stay in the kitchen, and we weren't allowed to go in and see our presents until everybody got there. So, of course, we always get over there early, and we're waiting, and that one family's always late. And they don't show up, and then the phone calls start. Where are you? Get over here. I want my stocking. I want to get in there now. And again, I think that's good. Those Christmas memories, these things we remember, you know, waiting expectantly behind the door to get in there and rush in and see what we had. I think that stuff's okay, but we've got to stay focused on the real reason for the season, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Jesus, and he needs to be at the forefront of our hearts and our minds at this time of year. And today, I really want to dive into kind of what this means. Why is this time of year so special? What did it mean when God became man? What are the implications for Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, the baby in the manger coming at this time of year? What does that mean for us? Because you see, the baby in the manger was just the beginning. That baby would grow up into a man, a baby born for sacrifice. He would lead a sinless life. He would die on a cross, and he would rise again. So what does that mean? Because I have to tell you guys this morning, that baby in the manger is the only hope that we have. He is the only hope that we have. And so today, I want us to talk about this idea of adoption. Of adoption. Not a physical adoption, but a spiritual adoption, an eternal adoption into God's family. Because see, our spiritual adoption was the goal of God at Christmas time when love came to town. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. And God, we're so excited about what you're doing. And God, we're excited for this season, God, what it represents. So Father, now as we dive into your word, God, as we look at what it means to be a part of God's family, to change ownership, God, to change guardianship from being an enemy of God to being a part of your family, God, I pray that we will just understand, God, and you will speak to our hearts. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I think one of the coolest pictures that we have here on earth, and one of the most accurate pictures of our relationship with God, the relationship God wants to have with us, and what God has done for us is that of an adoption of a child. When a child goes from being not a member of a family, an outcast, not a part of any family, and when a family comes in and says, no, you belong to us, you are our child, I think that's a great picture of what God has done for us. And I think it's a great mirroring of the relationship that we can have with God when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the question is, why trust in Jesus? All right, we know, Scripture tells us that above all else, we were created to live in a relationship with God. God the Father wants to relate to you as a child, okay? Not saying he wants in an immature relationship. He wants to have a father-son, a father-daughter relationship, all right? And this can only happen through spiritual adoption. And one of the most important truths that I think we can realize in our lives is that we are fatherless. As we are born, we are spiritually fatherless. And apart from a relationship with Jesus, we are wandering aimlessly through this world, and we're missing the relationship that we were ultimately created to be in, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to take a look at what Scripture has to say about that this morning. So first, we're going to stop by Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. And we're going to throw that up on the screen for you guys. It says this: once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. All right, so we're going to leave that verse up there real quick. And as you can see here is that in our default state, when we are born, it is a sin nature. We have a sin nature. It says we were alienated from God and we were enemies. We were alienated, we were apart, we were enemies from God, okay? We were separated. We were apart from God. But you see, when love came to town at Christmas time, it was the start of something new. When Jesus comes, when God puts on flesh, comes as a baby in a manger, it began something new. And here's our big truth today, and I want you guys to see this real quick, all right? We're going to throw it up on the screens. Love came so you could be adopted as a child of God. At Christmas time, love came to town so you could be adopted as a child of God. You see, as the Scripture in Colossians there, as it says, through the sacrifice of Christ, our default state changes and we are orphans no more. Instead, we become co-heirs with Christ. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, that can start the spiritual adoption process. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right, catch this here. So that in him, through Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. And I want you guys to try to grasp this, because I'll be honest with you. This whole idea of becoming the righteousness of God, this whole idea of God looking at us as perfect and blameless, this blows my mind. Because what you have to understand is God is so very, very, very big, and we are so very, very small. And Scripture says that we were enemies. We were enemies of God, but instead, because of the work of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be drawn close. And God looks at us and he says, no, you're my child. And he's on our side and he's with us. And he's with us and he wants to know you and he wants to relate to you. And it's through the spiritual adoption process that that can happen. Now, if you've heard me speak before, you might have heard me talk about this idea in Scripture that deals with the perfect combination of grace and truth, okay? Of grace and truth. In John 1, it says that when the word Jesus came from the Father, it says two times that he came from the Father full of grace and truth, and that Jesus was the perfect combination of grace and truth. And this is a big deal, because I think for a lot of us, we tend to lean one way or the other. We tend to lean towards grace, or we tend to lean towards truth. And going too far with either one of those can be an issue, because if we're all grace, that can lead to sin. If we say, do whatever you want, it's okay. Whatever you want to do is fine. It's not a problem. That can lead to sin. But if we're all truth, then that means that we're not being loving, and that can lead to legalism. Instead, Jesus was full of both. He was full of both grace and truth. And because of the fullness of grace and truth that Jesus brings to the table, we can experience what it's like to have the righteousness of God. You see, because of our sin, there had to be a penalty. Because of the things that we have done wrong, because of the junk in our lives, there has to be a penalty. And any good judge will tell you that there has to be a penalty for what we do wrong. Any good judge will tell you that. But you see, any good father would love to take the penalty for their child, would love to take it on themselves. I remember when I was 9 years old, I fell out of a tree and I broke my arm. And the first thing I did was I ran to my dad. I ran to my dad because I was hurting. I wanted my dad. And I remember we were in the hospital and it was just hurting so bad. And my dad said, if I could take the pain for you, I would. I had a good father. And he said, if I could take the pain for you, I would. And you see, our father, he looks at us, and he looks at us in our sin state, and he said, and he knows that, there's nothing that we could do. There's no righteousness that we could attain on our own. And he looks at us, and he says, I'm going to take it for you. I'm going to take the penalty for you. And he did. At Christmas time, when love came to town, when Jesus came again as a baby in a manger, put on flesh, grew into a man, sinless life, died on the cross for us. See, God is the perfect combination of judge and father, full of grace and truth. And the fullness of grace and truth was demonstrated through Jesus. And in Romans 8, scripture further points to this. I want you guys to take a look at Romans 8, 15 through 17. It says this: the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, some of you may know that in Aramaic, you see that word there, Abba. It says Abba. And what does that really mean? In the Aramaic, it literally means daddy. It means daddy. It's something that a child would call their father. Means the father or daddy. And it's something that a little child would come and crawl up in their father's lap, and they would say, Daddy, Daddy, hold me. Daddy, be with me. And what scripture is telling us here, and what Paul is writing in Romans 8, is that we, as children of God, who have been spiritually adopted through Christ, co-heirs with Christ, can literally approach the God of the universe, the one who made the stars and the skies and every bit of it, this very, very, very big God, when we were very, very small, and we can come and we can say, Daddy. And that is the kind of relationship that God wants with you. He wants to know you. See, lots of times people, I know with my kids, I love my kids, and there's times that I don't really necessarily like my kids. I love them, but I don't really like them so much. What I want you guys to hear me this morning is I'm going to say is that God doesn't just love you, he likes you. And he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to know you. And that's amazing. That just blows my mind. But see, this is only possible through spiritual adoption. Remember our big truth. Love came so that you could be adopted as children of God. Love came so that you could be adopted as children of God. And in John 1, verses 12 through 13, it says this: yet to all who received him, to those who believed in the name of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, this is huge. We go from being children of wrath under this old guardian of sin to being children of God. That's an amazing thing. And the only way that can happen is through the spiritual adoption process. And today, I want to talk about four truths about God's adoption of us, okay? And we're going to write these down, if you would, and this is going to be great. So real quick, God's adoption for you, the first truth, God's adoption for you was costly. God's adoption for you was costly. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to look at what it says. It says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law while becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So God's adoption for you was costly. It wasn't that it didn't cost anything. Now, it's free to us. It's free to us, but it cost God his son. Jesus, the baby in the manger, we talked about this a second ago. We sang about it earlier today. He was a baby born for sacrifice. And that sounds pretty harsh. But the thing is, God knew the cost when he stepped out of heaven and when he put on flesh and when he came as a baby. He knew what lay at the end of the road. This didn't take God by surprise. God sees everything. He knows everything. He sees everything you've ever done. He knows everything. He knows every dark little secret that you have. And here's the truth, people, this morning, is that he chose the cross anyway. He loved you enough, and he wanted to be in relationship with you so much that he chose the cross anyway. And it was a costly cross. And we should never forget the cost of the cross, especially at Christmas time. Second point this morning: God's sign of adoption is the Holy Spirit in you. The sign that you have been adopted into the family is the Holy Spirit in you. Now, for us, when we're adopted into a family, our last name changes. And really, when we are adopted into God's family, our name changes. We go from being an orphan, and when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fills us up. Let's go back and look at some of these scriptures again. In Galatians 4:6, it says this, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we are children of God, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and say, Daddy, and talk to God and have a relationship with God." In Romans 8:15-16, it says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Again, there it is, Daddy, Father. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So like I said earlier, when we are adopted, our identities change. See, we're no longer under the old guardian of sin. Our default nature is to be under this sin guardian and to answer that. But when we are adopted, we don't have to answer to that anymore. Instead, we have a new identity. And that identity is that we are like Jesus. And God looks at us, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and shows us the path to take. Point number three, God's adoption for you was a planned out process. God's adoption for you was a planned out process. It wasn't just arbitrary. This was something that God had thought through. In Ephesians 1, it says this, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Now, I'm not going to be getting involved in an argument about predestination this morning. Those discussions have their place, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not why we're here. That's not what we're going to be discussing. But what I am saying here is that Scripture says is that in God's all-knowing nature, he chose us for adoption. He knew from the foundation of the world who he was going to adopt, and he planned out that process. And he planned out the process of God putting on flesh Jesus, the baby in the manger. It was a planned out process. And we were chosen so that we could have communion and worship God both here and in the hereafter. Your adoption was a planned out process. And our last point is this. God's adoption of you involved your legal status to change. God's adoption of you involved your legal status to change. In Galatians 4:4-7, it says this. Throw that up there. Here we go. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father," there it is again, Daddy, Father, "so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." See, Jesus became sin and died on the cross and rose again from the grave so that we could be adopted as children of God, so that we could be in relationship, so we could be called co-heirs with Christ. And it's an amazing thing. And I want to tell you guys my story today. I'm adopted. When I was 3 months old, I was adopted into the family that I'm in now. And people asked me before, like, "Hey, do you know the name of your birth parents?" And I say, you know, I looked at it one time, and it wasn't, you know, Gates or Kennedy or anything like that. So I didn't really look any further into it. And, but I remember my parents asking my parents growing up, I've always known that I was adopted. And I remember asking my parents growing up kind of stories about it. I remember them talking about how they almost missed the phone call from DHR and how, you know, they heard the phone ringing and they almost didn't get inside in time, caught it on the last ring. And they informed them, the DHR folks told my parents, "Hey, we've got your son. We've got your son. We want you to come pick him up." You know, I would just hear these stories, and my parents told me growing up, I never knew that I wasn't adopted. Instead, they said, "Hey, God had a special plan for you," and I believe that. And you know, it's kind of crazy. Through the years, I've folks know that I'm adopted. I don't make any secret, and I've helped other families through the adoption process. Whether it's writing letters of recommendation, or I'll say, "Hey, how do I handle this issue or this issue?" And I remember just over time seeing how much it cost. You know, we talked about earlier that God's adoption for us was a costly process, and physical adoption here on earth can be a very costly process. And I remember going home to my mom one day after helping a family and just seeing the thousands of dollars they were spending on adoption and just saying, hey, thank you. Thank you for spending all of this money on me, you know, to adopt me, to make me a part of this family. And my mom said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, the thousands of dollars that it cost and all the work and the processing and all that. She said, well, you cost $15 to have your birth certificate copied. We went through DHR in the 80s. I was like, oh, okay, so I'm like a blue light special at Kmart. I get it, that's fine. And now what's really funny is a few weeks ago, I was telling my mom that I was gonna tell that story. My dad overheard, and he said, actually, it was $15 for both you and your sister. So instead, it's more like BOGO at Publix. But here's the deal. The constant thread that I've seen throughout this adoption process is that when a family adopts a person, when they take someone who's outside and they bring them in, you become family. You become family. Think about, is there anything you wouldn't do for your family? Is there anything you wouldn't do for your children? And through the spiritual adoption process, we become a part of the family of God. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and he makes us a part of God's family. And there's nothing that God would not do for his family. And through adoption, we go from outcast to included, from enemy to family, from unloved to loved. It's an incredible picture of what God has done for us. You know, and this morning, I want us to think about it. I want us to think about what that really means. You know, when I was adopted into my parents' family, my status changed. No longer did my birth parents have any sway on me. No longer did they have the right to tell me what to do or to give me direction or to have any input into my life. Instead, people ask me all the time, they say, well, do you know who your parents are? I say, yeah, I live with them. I grew up with them. Just because they didn't physically give birth to me doesn't mean that they're not my parents. They are my parents, and I love them. And they've taken care of me, and they've looked out for me my entire life. And what I want you to know this morning, folks, is that if you have not been spiritually adopted into the family of God, Jesus wants that relationship with you. He wants that father-child relationship. He wants to know you. He wants to be there. See, not only does God love you, he likes you, and he wants to be near to you, and he wants to draw you near to him. And he loves you too much to leave you in the muck and the mire. And so knowing that our status changes, knowing that we're not under the old guardian, when we are spiritually adopted by God the Father, sin, our initial guardian, has no more sway on us. We don't have to obey it anymore. We can be free from that. We can be free from sin and loneliness and hatred and anger and regret and all of these things that we have in our lives, all these things that exist, we can be free of those because we have a Father who loves us. And he took all of that on the cross and said, I'm going to take it on me so that you don't have to deal with it. And I've heard it said before that on the cross, God looked at Jesus as though he had lived our lives so that he could look at us as though we had lived the life of Christ. And I'll say that again. On the cross, God looked at Jesus as though he had lived our lives, our sinful, wretched lives, so that he could look at Jesus, or he could look at us as though we had lived the life of Christ, the perfect life of Christ. When we're adopted, the new family has all the rights and gets to make all the calls. And so this morning, I want you to know, if you have never become a part of the family of God, there is always more room in the family. There is always more room in the family. And God may be speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe he's saying, hey, come on, come to me. Come on, I want to know you. I want to be in relationship with you. And what does that mean? It means saying that, God, I know that I have done things wrong. And God, I know that you are the only hope that I have. And it means trusting in Christ for your salvation. It means making Jesus Lord of your life. And that's what God wants. And it's the best decision you could ever make. Be a part of the family of God. You see, when God is on your side and he wants you to belong in family. So I think everyone has some next steps they can take this morning. If you're not part of the family of God and you feel like that's something you want to do, maybe the first part of our response this morning is you need to accept the adoption offer that God is offering to you. Accept the adoption that God is offering to you. Again, it's free for us, but it costs Christ everything. Scripture says that it pleased God to crush Jesus on the cross because the righteousness of God cannot let sin go unpaid for. And so it was because of that it says that it pleased God to crush Jesus on the cross because the wrath of God had to be satisfied, our debt had to be paid, and God took it on himself as any good father would. as any good father would. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you in just a second to pray with me. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, if you want to accept the adoption offer that God is making, then you can just repeat after me. There's nothing magic in the words, but Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, but believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And if that's you this morning, and you want to accept that adoption offer, I invite you just to repeat after me as I pray right now. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done things wrong. Please forgive me my sin and come into my heart. I want to be adopted into the family of God, and I want you to be Lord of my life." In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you this morning, we invite you in just a moment. We're gonna wrap up and the band's going to come. They're going to play another song that talks about how we are the sons and the daughters of God. If that's you, we're going to have folks down here across the front who would love to speak with you. Another option, you can mark it on that Connect card and turn that in as you exit today. We have bins in both of these tunnels as you walk out. Just mark on that card that today you began a relationship with Jesus. The second response this morning for us, those of us that have already accepted the adoption offer, is to tell others about his plan of adoption. I think at Christmas time, it is so appropriate for us to talk about this baby who Jesus was physically adopted by his father Joseph, because we know it was an immaculate conception conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so we could talk about this baby in a manger. We need to tell others about God's plan for adoption. And the third thing is we need to devote our lives to the work of God's adoption. We have to devote our lives to the work of God's adoption. And I saw so many of you doing that this past Friday night, serving at the Christmas party, being a part of that, making sure that everyone who came could know, have a good experience, that would come back and hear about this adoption that we can have, and that we can be children of the King of Kings, the God our Father, that controls the entire universe. So wherever you are today, my prayer is that you will just respond. Respond to this incredible gift of adoption that God has given us. Our family is huge. Spiritual family, God, is huge, and there is always more room in the family for you. So if you need to talk to someone, we're going to have folks down here. I'll be down here. Love to speak with you. You can mark it on a card. One of our pastors will follow up with you this week. But just more than anything, whatever it is that God is calling and putting on your heart today, you respond. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. And God, we cannot thank you enough for the ultimate Christmas present, the best present we could ever have imagined or even thought of, God, and that is your son, Jesus, the baby in the manger. And God, we thank you that you did what we couldn't, God. You lived the perfect sinless life, God, that we could never could. And you died on the cross, God. You rose again from the grave so that we could spend eternity with you. Father, I pray now, Lord, as we begin this Christmas season, God, and all throughout the Christmas season, God, as we go throughout our lives, God, as we celebrate and as we give presents and as we spend time with family and as we engage in those Christmas traditions, God, more than anything, I pray that we keep you at the forefront of all of it. God, you are the reason for the season. God, we love you. We celebrate you today, God, and we're just so grateful for what you've done. Now, Father, I pray whatever it is you put on these folks' hearts this morning, God, on our hearts, God, I pray that we will respond, Father. God, that we respond either by becoming a part of your family, God, through the spiritual adoption process, God, telling more people about you, devoting our work to the cause of adoption so that folks can know about you. Those who are far from you can be brought into the family. God, thank you for adopting us. God, thank you for making a way. God, thank you for sending love at Christmas time so that we could have a relationship with you and so that we could come to you and call you Daddy and tell you how much we love you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.